Our text this morning is going to be out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. We have the word on the wall, but if you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I'm sorry, I lost my place. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the mercy that you have shown us, Lord, that we who are not a people are now called the people of God, and we who were not loved are now called the beloved. I ask this morning that you would lift us up by this message of Paul's, that you would help us to realize who we are in Christ and not necessarily who we think we are in our own eyes. I thank you for everything that you have done for us through Jesus Christ and in his name. Amen. I want to talk this morning about jars of clay. There are passages where Paul speaks of the sovereignty of God in the sense of a potter and the submissiveness of believers as in the sense of clay. He uses that metaphor, and this did not originate with Paul because he's using some of the prophets of the Old Testament who used the same kind of comparison. And I just got one I'll share with you this morning. There's several in there. But in the book of Isaiah 64:8, the prophet Isaiah says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hands." The prophet Jeremiah was another one that God used the analogy of a potter and clay. Now, Paul draws on this example in his letter to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus 1, 5 through 6, he says, "He," or God, "predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." 1:11 says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should do." Did you notice in these three passages that Paul stresses the point to the church that God has saved us, God has adopted us, and it's all about God? It's not about us. It's for his will, his purpose, his glory, not ours. And sometimes we get in trouble with that a little bit. We like to be recognized and patted on the back once in a while. I've never met anyone in my life that ever said, "Well, I was just a good person and God saved me." But sometimes we can get a little puffed up. Sometimes when we have troubles, we don't understand it. I'm a decent person. This shouldn't happen to me. And Paul had his fill of troubles. I've often thought the call that he had from Jesus Christ. You remember when he was blinded and Jesus told the prophet Ananias, I want you to go lay hands on this guy so he'll get his sight back. And Ananias argued with him a little bit and said, Lord, this is a rough dude. Man, he goes around casting your people into prisons. You know, he has spoken against him and had him put to death. And the Lord said, but I've chosen him. And I'm going to show him what great things he's going to suffer in my name. And I thought, how would you like to have a call like that? You know, I believe the Lord called me to preach. But I don't know how willing I'd have been if he just said, Rick, you're going to suffer so much. That's what I've called you to do is suffer. But that's what he told Paul. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer greatly. And Paul lived out every bit of that in his ministry. He said to one church, everywhere I go, danger follows me. Everywhere I go, opposition follows me. And Paul begins this letter to the church at Corinth. What's going on? There's these false teachers. Paul called them super apostles that came into the church. And they began to question Paul's authority as an apostle because he wasn't a real flashy guy. They said his speech is contemptible. His letters are powerful, but he just doesn't have much to say, and he's not very impressive, and Paul wouldn't take money to preach. And the Greeks thought, if you was worth your salt, you would take money, you know, if you were going to teach and preach. And they had their degrees from the FAU, the False Apostles University, and they'd come in and show them their letters or credentials, and Paul didn't have anything like that. And some of the church was starting to pull away from Paul. And they were saying, look at this guy. Man, he's in and out of prison. Everywhere he goes, there's trouble. You know, is that really who you want to be as a minister in this church? So Paul's kind of at a place he's defending his ministry. He's not trying to elevate himself, but he's pointing out to the church, look, I'm just a guy. I'm a guy God has called to use, just like he's called every one of us. We're all jars of clay. When you think about it, the main composition, chemical composition of our body's dirt. And Paul's saying, look, we're all jars of clay. God didn't call me to impress you. God called me to preach. God called me to teach. This is what Paul's saying to them. So he begins by talking about the troubles that he had preaching in Asia Minor. In the first part of this second letter, he said, we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. We experienced many afflictions. We felt we had received the sentence of death. We were burdened beyond our strength, that we despaired of life itself. Now, don't you know that's pretty pressed in? Paul said, we just thought we're dead men. When we got into Asia, he said, it just didn't look good for us at all. And it's been said by some that two things happened when Paul preached. There were revivals and there were riots. Now, you can't get any more opposite on the spectrum than that. Paul would go into an area and preach, and there'd be revival, and there'd be people getting saved, but there'd be a riot break out. Paul was not a popular man because he preached the truth. That was his fault. Paul was not guilty of breaking any laws other than he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people resented that. Now, pardon me. Paul said, God, who is the God of all comforts, comforted them. Excuse me. They learned not to depend on themselves, but on God who raises the dead. He said, we thought we were dead, but we learned from that. Depend on God. He raises the dead. So they not only shared in the sufferings of Christ, but also in the comfort. Paul said, we suffered, but we were also comforted. God delivered them from deadly perils, and he said he will continue to deliver us. Then Paul said he also realized the purpose of God in these sufferings and in the comfort. Paul had some pretty keen insight into this through the Holy Spirit. He said it was so that we would be able to comfort those who are being persecuted. Now, how do you understand that's not a self-centered attitude? Paul wasn't singing the blues and woe is me and I don't deserve to be treated like this. And God, I don't understand this. Why are you letting this happen to me? Paul said, you know what I realize? God allows these sufferings in my life and he comforts me. And that way I can comfort you. Have you ever talked to somebody that's experienced something you have? And you're able to comfort them and say, I know where you're at. I know what you've been going through. And let me tell you how God got me through this. I'm going to tell you, I've always said this, there is testimonies in every person in the body of Christ. Testimonies that can help other people. People you will meet that have gone through what you have gone through and gotten through the power of Christ, that you can testify to them, hang on, God's going to get you through this. This is what he did for me. And this is what Paul saw in his trials and sufferings. He said, I got looking around and realized, wow, God's allowed me to go through this so I can comfort other people. That's not a self-centered attitude. That's an other-centered attitude. Paul could have got the blues and said, man, this ain't right. I'm not doing anything wrong, and I'm being used and abused, and I'm not going to put up with this. But he said, hey, I've went through these rough patches. I'll help you get through these rough patches. He said, that's why God's allowing this to go on. Mother Teresa once said sometimes she wished he didn't trust her so much. You ever felt like that? Oh, God, I wish you didn't trust me this much. Paul said, when we're afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. That's how he began to look at the troubles that were coming against him. He's saying, this is going to be good for the church. When this is all over, I'm going to be able to comfort these people because I'll know right where they've been. He said, for your comfort and your experience, when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Paul was saying, it's not about us. It's all about God and his glory. We need to remember that, church. God saved you not because of you, because of his glory. God saved you and me, people like me, because he is merciful and it's for his glory, not mine. It's not so people can come up and say, wow, Rick's certainly a good dude. No, Rick's, there's nothing good about me. God in his mercy saved me, and he deserves the glory. And in Christianity, in ministry, I am to glorify him, not me. In your Christian walk, you are to glorify Jesus Christ, not you. You should not be seeking any glory to come to you. It should all go to Christ. And I've said this, and I'll say it till the day I die, that if in the church we would get that mindset, most of the problems we have would go away. And I'm talking about the bickering and the fussing, and I don't like that idea. My idea ought to be used. If we all had a heart to say, we're here to glorify Jesus Christ, all that stuff would go out the door. Yeah, that's the heart we need. This is the heart Paul's showing. Like I said, he's not whining and complaining. Sure, he's talking about his troubles, but he's saying, I've come to realize that when I go through these things, God is preparing me to help you get through these things. Now, there's things I haven't gone through. I've never lost a child. So if I talk to somebody that has, I can't say, I know how you feel. But I've lost people that I love. But I know people that have lost children. And they can minister to somebody that's lost children. See what I'm saying? We go through some terrible things sometimes as Christians. To us, they're terrible. They're unbearable. But we need to get Paul's attitude. Well, God, now I can get other people through this. I can help. I can sympathize. I can talk with them. And I can glorify you by saying, God got me through this. You'll get through it. You think you reach a point, as Paul said, we just didn't even think we were going to live anymore. We just said, we're dead. All this persecution, he said, we're dead men. You know, we're just not going to get out of this. But he said, we did. God got us through it. And he said, now I can minister to you. Wow. Well, God, I'd just not soon go through that and minister to other people. Couldn't you use me in another area? You know, couldn't I be the Christian that doesn't have any problems? And I get to go to church where people don't have any problems. That'd be a congregation of maybe two. Anyway, Paul's talking about the problems they were had preaching in Asia. And he says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. What's he talking about? This ministry that's getting me beat, thumped on, stoned, and chased after. And we have this by the mercy of God, so I don't lose heart. Good night. He's saying, praise God for this ministry that he's given me with all the knots and bumps and bruises that I've suffered. And he said, since I have this ministry, I don't lose heart. Paul said, I don't quit. He's come to expect these hardships and these troubles. He knows this goes with the territory. He said, we preach the unadulterated word of God in all its truth. We renounce disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to tamper with God's word. We do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a testimony. God said, you know why I, or Paul said, you know why I'm suffering so much? Because I don't adulterate the word of God. I don't tone the gospel of Jesus Christ down. I preach it in truth. And what's the results? Not everybody greets me with open arms. When you read Paul's resume further on in 2 Corinthians, he could not today be in good standing as a pastor in about any church in America. He's in and out of prison. He said, 5 times I received 40 lashes from the Jews, minus one. 3 times I was beat with rods. Once I was stoned. I've been shipwrecked. He said, I've been in danger at sea, at danger from rivers, dangers from bandits, danger from my own people, and danger from false prophets in the church. Man, danger, danger, danger. I don't think there'd be a church in America today if a man like Paul was there and say, well, we'd love to have you as our pastor. Paul's speaking to a church that is teetering between true and false doctrine. And they're leaning towards the false teachers. They like what they hear. And it's sad, in his second epistle to Timothy, when he's getting ready to be executed, he said, Timothy, you know that everyone in Asia turned against me. Paul's not bragging on Paul. He's bragging on Jesus Christ. He's talking about all these hardships he's come through. And he said, you know, God puts this treasure in jars of clay. If Christ is in you, you have the King of the universe in you, and you're a jar of clay. Paul's saying, it's not by my power I'm getting through this. He said, I told you earlier, I thought I was going to die. Have you ever prayed and said, God, I just can't take this? I have. I cannot take any more of this. But the Bible said he won't allow anything to come on me that I can't handle. Well, I beg to differ. I'm not trying to smart off to God, but it's like, aha, you got a lot more confidence in me than I got, because I'm telling you, I can't handle this. Paul said that Satan is the god of this world. He blinds the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We all understand here, if we've been Christians very long, Satan has always opposed God, and he always will. And when you line up with Christ, you automatically, whether you want to or not, you line up against Satan. And you line up against the world. I've told you a dozen times, that preacher that baptized me in Bryant Creek said, I know you think, oh, things are going to go good now, but he said, you just hung a target around your neck for the devil to aim at, and he said, he's coming after you. And I don't understand in the church why we think we got to be friends with the world. I'm serious. We say, well, the gospel doesn't change, but we got to change the method. A lot of churches don't preach the blood of the cross anymore because that offends people. A lot of the churches today don't preach about sin, judgment, and righteousness because that offends people. We don't want them to leave. What's the bottom line? Because they'll take this with them. We got a budget. They'll take their tithes and offerings with them. Paul said, I didn't tamper with God's word. I went in there and preached what I was told to preach. Some people loved me, some people hated me. Paul said, oh, well, it goes with the territory. You need to expect it. Satan hates God, and he hates any person who comes to Christ, and he will line up against you. And Paul's saying you might as well resolve yourself to that fact. You're going to make enemies. James said to the church, if we try to be the world's friends, we become God's enemies. Now, I'm not talking about churches being legalistic and sticking their nose up in the air at people, not having anything to do with people, but it means we don't compromise the message of Jesus Christ. He came to save sinners. That's what we need to be teaching people. And that's what Paul taught people. He said, we are afflicted. The Greek says, hedged in and pressed upon. We are perplexed. We suffer embarrassment with no way out. We are persecuted, pursued, and hard driven. We are cast down, struck down to the ground. Paul must have liked sports because he's using a term from the Greek Olympics when men wrestled. And the object was to slam your opponent down on the ground. We'd call it a body slam today. They had boxing and wrestling in the Greek games. And they said this was the analogy that Paul was using. Not that we're just pushed around. We're knocked flat of our backs. That sounds terrible. And Paul's not whining. He's saying, look, we came into Asia Minor to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. We didn't tamper with God's word. We didn't tell you things you wanted to hear. We didn't soften it up. We didn't flower it up. We came and told you the truth. And he said, this is how we've been treated. Now, he's not saying by everyone, because he's writing to some people that have received what he said and came to Christ. But they're a little bit concerned. You know, the pastor's been in and out of jail. He causes riots everywhere he goes. You know, maybe we need to look at getting somebody else. And Paul said, yeah, I've been pushed around. I've been beat. I've been knocked down. But then he says, in Christ as his jar of clay, when we are afflicted and hedged in, we're never broken or crushed. Though we are perplexed, we're never in despair. One of the Greek words for that is there, as Paul said, we don't quit. Though we are struck down to the ground, we're never struck out or destroyed. I like it. Paul said, you can knock me down, but you can't knock me out. I'm going to keep getting back up. I had a guy beat the tar out of me one night back in my pacifist days. I decided I was going to be a pacifist. I wasn't even going to swing back. And, man, I mean, he beat the tar out of me. And the third time I hit the ground, I got up. He said, why do you keep getting up? I said, I don't know. All I knew is I felt like you need to get back up. If you're going to beat me, you're going to beat me till I can't get up. And he quit. I found out he broke two of his knuckles the last time he hit me. So I was whipping him and didn't even know it. But I remember him saying, why don't you stay down? I said, I don't know. And Paul said, these persecutions, they're knocking me down, but they don't knock me out. You see what he's getting at about? We're jars of clay. We can be brittle. But he said, God does this because he wants to understand us to understand it's his power that keeps us going. He said to the church, I may not look like much to you, but boy, am I filled with the power of Jesus Christ. That's how I take all this and I keep coming back. Paul said, I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. I'm not destroyed. He says, though we are persecuted, though we are harassed and chased, we're not by ourselves. Jesus Christ is right here with us. Do you believe that when Jesus said, I'll never leave you? Have you ever felt alone? Amen. Yeah, be honest about it. There's times you feel like, God, where are you? I thought you said you'd never leave me. He didn't say, I'll never leave you, and you'll feel like that. He said, I'll never leave you. It's not dependent on your feeling. I did my dad's funeral the night before his funeral. My family had left, and I had a scrap paper laid on Dad's casket, and I was looking at Dad and writing thoughts out. And this mentally retarded young man come up and put his arm around me. I didn't even know he was around. And he gave me a hug. And he started talking about my dad. He knew my dad. And I hugged him back, you know, and he left, and the funeral director came out and apologized. I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't see him come in. And I sensed the Lord said, I sent you a hug. Yeah. And the day of the funeral, the next day, I got up, and there was a lot of brothers and sisters there from the church where I was associate pastor. And I was standing next to Dad's casket, and I literally, and I ain't saying this happened to me a lot, but I literally felt like somebody stepped up and put their arm around my shoulder. I needed that. I had to have that. I was getting ready to do the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life. And Paul said, I'm persecuted, I'm harassed, I'm chased down, I'm hemmed in. But he said, you know what? I never stood alone. Jesus Christ is right there with me. But I'll guarantee you there's times that I feel like I'm alone. And I'm going, God, where are you at? Where's that feeling of your presence? I hear that with a lot of newer Christians. I just felt the Holy Ghost. Well, what's he feel like? Well, it just is an emotional. Well, that's emotions. That can be spurred by chemicals, you know. Doesn't have to be the Holy Ghost. What bottom line is, Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave you. He didn't say, if you feel like I'm there, I'm there. If you feel like I'm not there, then I'm not there. He said, I won't leave you alone. What's Paul going on, faith? He fell alone. He told Timothy before his execution, he said, at my last defense, nobody stood with me. All these guys I called brother hit the door. Psst. Paul's in trouble. But he said, but I didn't stand alone. Jesus Christ was there with me. No matter what we go through, church, we're never alone. If you are true believers and followers of Jesus Christ, he never leaves you by yourself. No matter what we suffer, God will always provide a way out. He will always provide encouragement. And when you get knocked down, he's there to pick you up and dust you off. And he'll say, keep going. We're all jars of clay. We all have a purpose. I read that to you in Ephesians. God has predestined our lives. As Christians, he has works that he wants us to do. Your job and my job is to find out what that is. But it comes with some pretty rough territory. Jesus said, if you try to save your life, to keep your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give your life up for me and for the sake of the gospel, you'll keep it to eternal life. Ours is a cross-bearing religion. That's a call to die, to self. But Paul said, oh man, I got stretched so thin, I didn't think I could handle this. But he said, you know what? God showed up every time. God got me through this every time. Now I realize I can help other people. I can help other people get through this, what I've gone through, and came out and victorious. I want to close with a very familiar passage. This is later on in this letter, chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul's talking about these revelations that the Lord had given him. And he said, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of these revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. He says that twice in one sentence. What was Paul saying? I was getting a big head. You know, God was showing me these things, and I was kind of getting a big head, and God said, no, you don't need to have a big head, Paul. So he sent a messenger of Satan to keep him from getting a big head. When he says it twice to me, that same Paul was saying, yeah, I was getting conceited. I got to admit it. I was being taught the gospel personally by Jesus Christ. When I became a Christian, I didn't go to Jerusalem and ask them to teach me. He said, the Lord sent me to Arabia for 2 years, and he taught me. Wow. Now, that's the kind of Bible college I'd like to go to. Yeah, but Paul said, I start kind of getting the big head about this. All these revelations the Lord had shown me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I haven't got there yet. I'm not content with persecutions and calamities. You know, what was Paul saying? I realize that what gets me through this is the power of Christ in me. He said, Lord, take it away 3 times. Lord, please take this away. Lord, I can't handle this. Take this away. And the Lord said, no, you need that. But he said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. What's the Lord saying? Don't depend on your strength. Depend on mine. Is the one in you greater than the one in the world? That's what the Bible says. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Is our battle against unbelievers? No. It's against the God of this world. They're deceived. I see these gay pride parades and the BLM movement and all this marching and burning and looting going on, and I get angry, and then it seems like the Lord says to me, Rick, they're deceived. They've been duped by the enemy. They're tricked. They need Jesus Christ as much as I need Jesus Christ. Bottom line, sad fact is, there's going to be people that will not believe. How do we attack that? We attack the kingdom of the God of this world. How do we do that? In prayer. That's becoming more real to me. You get frustrated at people. Why don't you see this? I've been sharing this with you. Don't attack them. Attack the gates of hell. Attack the kingdom of darkness. Attack the God of this world. You do that on your knees through prayer. Not depending on your abilities and power, depending on the one that saved you. He's blinded them. Ask God to open their eyes. Now that sounds too simple, but I believe that. That's how I pray for my children and grandchildren. Open their eyes, Lord. Satan's put blinders there. Would you take them off? That's how I've got through the things I've went through as a Christian. There was times I felt I couldn't even catch my breath, some of the things that I've went through. I'm not bragging on myself and saying I've had it any worse than anybody else. But as Paul said, I never found Jesus Christ left me alone. I felt alone. But I knew he was right there the whole time. That's how I got through it. And he can get you through anything that you're going through now or you may go through in the future. We're all jars of clay, but if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you're full of treasure. Precious treasure. As clay, we have to allow the potter to work with us. He has a purpose for our life, and he will mold us into what he wants us to be. You and I submit to that. Don't fight the potter. There's no point in fighting the potter. If we want to be vessels fit for an honorable use, we submit to the potter. And everything that comes our way, doesn't mean we like it, but we submit. And we do it in the faith that Christ is going to get me through this. Now and in the future, and he's done it in the past, I can trust him. I will get through this. Father, we thank you for the comfort that we have in Jesus Christ, in the presence of your Spirit, in the copy of your written word. I just pray today, Lord, if anyone here is suffering terribly, going through spiritual battles or physical battles, Lord, that you will touch their hearts as only you can, that you will reveal yourself unto them as only you're able, and comfort them as only you can through your Spirit. We thank you for the blessings that you pour out upon us, and I ask these blessings to be on your people through the week. In Jesus' name, amen.